Welcome back to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris, and this is episode 22. Today we're going to be talking about alternative energy sources for the homestead, for a small scale. But before we get into the subject at hand, I want to remind you to come on out and visit us at havenhomestead.com. That's havenhomestead.com. And there you can find our podcasts and all of some of our handy products, wood-made products that we offer here. You can also find blog articles. You can find pictures of our homestead and us. Also find out about our guest room that we have on Airbnb. What we're up to when our next classes are coming out. And that sort of stuff. So please come out to havenhomestead.com and check it out. Also, please head on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/havenhomestead. And find out about how you can keep this show on the road. And not literally on the road, but keep it going. And help us help other people learn to live more sustainable lives. Well, with that, the bill's paid, so to speak, then let's get into the topic at hand, which is alternative energy sources. So we have to think to ourselves, first, what are the energy needs of my dwelling, home, apartment, condo, farm, whatever, wherever it is that you live? Think about, what do I need the energy for? What do I need power for? Now, power can be, in this case, we're going to be talking about electricity, but it can be, power comes from a lot of things, or we need power for a lot of things, from heat to, heat for water, for washing, or cooking, those sort of things. So we're going to talk about how you can produce that on your homestead or in your life. You don't have to be on a homestead, but where you live. All right, so some of the things, like I said, we'll have to figure out what we need power for. So we need light. That can be natural or synthetic. Heat, to heat the house, heat the space. Hot water for washing and bathing and dishes, laundry. Cooking, need some sort of power for cooking. Communication. I was just trying to think of things that we use on a regular basis that we need power for to kind of keep things rolling. And I put communication in there. If you work from a computer, then that is also something that you need to... this podcast takes power to produce, power in the form of electricity, and entertainment, which is not, as some would say, an essential part, but it is an essential part to your psychological and mental well-being. And plus, just life is a lot more enjoyable with entertainment. I mean, nobody wants to live just a black and white life. You want to live a life that's more colorful and vibrant and fun. And so, I know this isn't an exhaustive list, but it, I think, covers the main topics. So, power all these different attributes of life, it costs money, some more than others. But in order to become more sustainable in the long term, we need to try to provide as much of our own power as we can. So these are some ways to generate power. Now, I'll mostly be going over electricity because that's the main commodity that people use. However, there will be some other things that I'll add in here depending on the subject. So alternative energy are things that aren't reliant on fossil fuels to work. Now, they might take fossil fuels to manufacture and then to deliver to your house, But once that, then you can get off of the fossil fuels and be able to produce your own electricity. So what I'm thinking of is, say you order a windmill, a power generator windmill, and it takes fossil fuels to make it and then deliver it, and maybe even set it up depending on how high it is, if you need a crane or something. So that's what I mean when I'm saying that from up until that point, you need fossil fuels, and then after that, you can go ahead and start giving back to the grid and using less fossil fuels after the initial investment, so to speak. And I apologize that I didn't put out a podcast last week. Right now, I'm just going to pause real quick and say that. But I've been sick, and I'm still a little bit stuffy, so pardon me, and I appreciate your patience. Back to the different kinds of power. So, in the alternative energy sources, I put down here. Okay, first was solar, like solar, hydro, wind, manpower. Those are the main topics I'm going to cover. But there's also, nuclear or tidal energy, like from using the tides and the waves and geothermal and biomass and stuff like that. But I'll just touch those really quickly once we get to the end of the list. So first, I want to get into solar panels, or solar, solar panels, solar. Solar can be used to provide power in a variety of ways. The solar panels can provide you with electricity. Solar panels right now are pretty expensive, and they have been. But on the some of the sources, some of the information I was looking up said that the solar panels are one of the industries that the price should go down tremendously within the next 5 years. Because just like semiconductors and computer parts and stuff like that, they were very expensive when they first started coming out, but now that manufacturing has gotten more streamlined and the materials have gotten more refined, and all of these the things are kind of catching up to the manufacturing, the price of solar panels should be going down soon. So that might be a more viable option for you and I, the average homeowner or a person that's looking for alternative energy sources. So that's something we can hopefully get into in the near future. Also with the solar is they can provide you with heat in the way of a solar collector. So a solar collector is a series of pipes. Well, just one is it's just one pipe, and as the sun shines on it, the ends heat up really, really hot because of the gases inside. With the sun shining on it and the gases inside heat the ends of this pipe really, really hot. So what you do is you put a few of these pipes in a row, and then you attach a water line in copper to the end of them. Then when the sun shines on it, the heat is transferred to the end where the copper line is, and that is then you pump the water past these heated points, and it heats the water and brings in water for, hot water for your house, or to be used on point like that, or even into a water heater where it would store the water, the hot water for an amount of time. Or you could also have it come down and run through a radiator that would then give off radiant heat. So those are a couple uses for the solar collector, but electricity and heat are two ways that you can use solar power. The third one is using a solar oven, which is you have a box, and you can either line the inside with some sort of reflective material like aluminum foil, or you can paint it black, which I've seen them mostly painted black, and then you put a lid on the top, that's see-through, like glass or plexiglass, something that can handle heat. And then you might have a shield coming out that would, kind of a reflector that would shine more sunshine into the box. And then you can put in things like an oven. You can bake things in there, or roast things, or use it pretty much just like an oven. That's why it's called a solar oven. But that is one of the best ways that I think for cooking with solar power. Also, you could get a lens of you make like a parabolic lens, and then you put the pot where the focus would be. Green Power Science, I believe, is the name of a YouTube channel, and he has a lot of this energy, cooking things with a parabolic lens. So if you're interested in that, you can go ahead and check that out. You kind of need to have your house or the situation where your solar panels or solar collector are going to be facing south. That way if you're in the northern climate, in your northern hemisphere, then you'll want to face it south, and then of course north if you're in the southern hemisphere. But I don't know how many southern hemisphere listeners I have. If you live in the southern hemisphere, then let me know on comments if you would. So you want to have your house facing south, or the panels facing south. If you live on the north side of a hill, depending on how steep the hill is, you might have to try to put the panels on top of the hill, or figure something else out, because it's really important that you're not in a shadow, or that trees aren't blocking the solar gain from these panels or collectors or any other solar power. Also, the last one I'm going to talk about for solar is the light. So on my list, I had light, heat, hot water, entertainment, cooking, communication, and work. And of that, solar took care of almost all of those except for communication and entertainment. But communication, I suppose, if you were going to use Morse code and a mirror, then I guess you could also do communication. But that's not, I guess, if you're really, really off grid and you're, that sort of person, and the person on the other end who's willing to send your messages on knows Morse code, which seems like there's a lot of ifs on that, then by all means go for it. But solar takes care of quite a few of the needs, and the entertainment and work can be made by the electricity from the photovoltaic panels, the solar panels. So really, solar is, if you live in an area that gets enough sun throughout the year, solar is a really good way to go. The next one that I just talk about is hydro. So hydroelectricity can come from, if you have a creek or a stream or something that you can harvest a little bit of water. All you have to do is put a pipe up high. So hopefully you have good slope to your ground. You put a pipe up high, and then pipe it down to where the turbine is, and you can see diagrams online. But it will come through and turn a turbine inside a pump house, or like a generator house, and then the water, after it shoots out, just goes right back into the creek and runs on. So that is a viable way if you have the right land set up. Also, if you have a little bit of a drop off or a waterfall, if you're lucky enough to have something like that, then you could always put in a water wheel. And also, just the water running by, you could have a water wheel that it just turns as the water hits it. So then you gear it down onto your generator, and you should be making power. So hydro, can take care of the power, which does, or electricity, which does almost, all of the things that we've talked about. There's a guy who lives not too far from here that has hydro power for his house. Everything runs on hydro. He's off-grid with power usage. And he says, other than when, you know, the freezer turns on and you run in the microwave, you know, you might see it start bogging down a little bit, but he usually has plenty to spare. Next one we're going to talk about is wind. And if you want to do wind power, then you have to purchase or make a wind turbine. And there's a few different kinds. There's ones with the three blades and the tail that turns. There's a vertical axis wind turbine, which I've been really interested in making one, but I just haven't got to it yet. But you need to live in an area that has enough wind, not a whole lot of trees. So in our area, we don't get a whole lot of sun. I think we get enough to make solar viable, but we don't get a whole lot of wind, and we have lots and lots of trees around. So I'd have to put a tree, if I were to get a wind turbine, I need to put it up high so that I could make use of it, because we have a lot of trees, tall trees here on our property. Or maybe put it down by the road where there's fields around us. And so that might be the option we might have to go with if we were to go that route. The last one is manpower. So if you're willing to ride a stationary bike and you could have it geared down to where you could turn a decent size generator, then you could charge batteries. You know, I'm not sure how long it would take. It just depends on how big of a wattage your alternator or generator is. But if you could ride the bike for 20 or 30 minutes and store enough power for a day's worth of power usage, I think that would be a really neat way to be sustainable. I mean, because you would be making your own power. You would be the one responsible for if there was power or not. And then if you grew your own food, then the food would be powering you, and you'd be powering the house. And anyway, I think that would be a really neat way. I'm just not sure if a big engine or a big electric motor or generator like that is viable to be turned by pedal power or by hand or whatever. So if you know about that sort of thing, then please comment on the notes or on the comment section. Nuclear is not sustainable because it takes lots of manufacturing to get that done, and then also the facilities are very expensive. And that's just my opinion. I mean, a lot of people are really all about nuclear power, but I think that we could do better. Now there's wave power, which they put a little buoy on a float, and when a wave comes up, it pushes the buoy up, which would maybe run a little gear inside or something, and when the wave goes down, it kind of like recharges it, and then when it goes back up, it spins the thing. I think of it like those cars that if you pull them back, they get charged up, then you let them go, they spin forward. Or maybe the ones with the flywheel inside, so you spin it or you push it a little bit and it just keeps going and going because of flywheel. It's kind of, I think of it like that. So it goes, it probably powers, makes energy going up, and then when gravity brings it back down, it makes energy going down and back up and back down. And they have it. So if you live on the coast, and I don't know what the rules are about personal power generation like that, but that is a form of alternative power. Also, they have ones that work on the tide, which I believe are similar. So as the tide goes up, this thing rises and it stores the energy somehow or sends electricity to a battery. And then when the tide goes down, it comes back down. I think that would, depend on how it's geared, I don't think that would be a very quick energy use, but I haven't seen all the plans or anything. I don't really know that much about it. I just know very little. And then the last one is geothermal, and that can be used in a variety of ways. You could get the heat coming from underground, and have it necked through pipes to a turbine or turbine that would generate electricity, or you could have it just heat the house. So here in our house, we have radiant floor heat, and we haven't got them installed yet, but we plan on having, we've got the pipes put in that go into our mechanical room. They're 6-inch pipes down in the ground. So they're ready for us to put pipes out into the ground so we can collect the thermal energy from the ground, because the ground stays at a nice 55 degrees all year long. So what we could do is pump water through these pipes when they're out in the ground, and we could cool the house down in the summer. Or in the wintertime, your heat pump or your heater, your the boiler that we have would only need to heat the water up 20 degrees rather than like a heat pump outside would have to heat it all the way up from, if it's 0 degrees outside. So it's way more energy efficient to have it kind of kickstarted by thermal energy. So we have the house ready to put in geothermal, but we haven't actually put the pipes in yet because it's very expensive. So we just got the house ready for it, and someday hopefully we'll be able to get that done. I didn't mention, and I was going to, so please forgive me. In the solar with the light is if you have windows, you need to, really think about having good decent sized windows on your house, because when it's daytime outside, running lights in the daytime is kind of counterproductive. So the sun can provide that for us. Also, I was thinking about maybe putting if you could put like a mirror inside on the windowsill facing inside, so when the light shines in, it would shine in on the ceiling or something, which would also give you more light inside if your windows are kind of lacking in number and size. But I don't know if that would really work. That was just an idea I had, and I don't know. Anyhow, there are lots and lots of ways to reduce your power bill and become less reliant on the power grid. And this whole podcast is just to get you thinking about how you could become more sustainable. Well, thanks for listening. This has been the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.